Page 492. But wait, before next Monday night, there's no class. Anyway, the pasuk says, Perek Lamed Beis, pasuk Aleph. Okay, the Torah says, Vayad Ha'am, the nation. So basically what happened was, as we learned, Moshe Rabbeinu was up in Har Sinai. Hashem told him the laws of Shabbos. Hashem gave the Luchais, the tablets which were written by God, the letters were God, the thing was made by Hashem. Everything was godly. And Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the two luchis. Okay, now the pasuk says like this: V'yad ha'am, the nation saw kiveshish Moshe. The Moshe was delayed. Leredes min har, to come down from the mountain. Now, there's a lot of different opinions exactly what happened over here. Some opinions say they mistook a whole day. Another opinion was they mistook a half a day. In fact, some of us learn that the word b'sheish means b'sheish, in 6 hours.
492, Rabbi?
Yes, sir. Okay, he was delayed. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the way Rashi learns. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai,
he's heard of that.
You left it?
For now.
I think we have lice. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm coming back in the 40th day. So they thought, this is where Rashi learns, they thought that the day that Moshe Rabbeinu went up was this one is included in the 40 days. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm coming down in 40 days. What he meant is 40 full days. Okay, so therefore they made a mistake. Now, this, as far as Moshe Rabbeinu's counting, it was the 17th of Tammuz. They thought it was a day earlier, the 16th of Tammuz. So what happened? So the people said, hey, what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu? And here there's a whole bunch of discussions exactly what the Jews thought at that time. One is, the Jewish people thought, how could Moshe Rabbeinu be up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, no eating, no drinking, no sleeping? It's impossible. So they thought Moshe died. He passed away. Not only did they think Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, the Medrash says the Satan showed the Jews an image of Moshe Rabbeinu laying in a coffin. Last week I'm sure he said, okay, but whatever. So they thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was dead. The truth is, it was only above a mice. It wasn't even true. Okay, so therefore, what happened is, by Yikol Ahom al Aaron, the nation gathered to Aaron. So it's interesting. The Medrash says first they went to the elders. They went to the Zkenim and they said, "Do something." The Zkenim refused. They killed all the elders, 70 elders. It was a mob. I mean, they the gangsters. They killed the people that wanted the eagle, the Eid of Rav.
Oh, they killed.
They killed the 70 elders because
wow.
They said, "Do something. Give us a new god." They said no. So they killed them. So then they came to Aaron. But before Aaron, this the passage doesn't say, they first came to Miriam's son Hur. Because Moshe Rabbeinu before said, when I'm going up to Har Sinai, whoever has any problems, let him go to Aaron and Hur will be here. They'll answer your questions. They went to Hur and they said, hey, Moshe Rabbeinu's dead. He couldn't live 40 days and 40 nights without food. Hur said, are you crazy? The guy that did all these miracles, the only thing God can do a miracle with him, that he can live for 40 days and 40 nights, what's the big deal? So they killed Hur. Okay, and that's why Aaron was afraid, and we'll soon see that. So it says like this: Ve'ikolam al Aaron, the people came to Aaron, and they said, "Ve'yemer elav kum asilano elikim, make for us a god, asheyelchu lefaneinu, that should go before us." And as Rashi explains, "Yelchu lefaneinu" is plural. They said, "We want to make many gods." Why? Because this man Moshe, Asher Alonu Meretim Sand, that took us out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. Okay, so therefore, now that Moshe Rabbeinu is out of the picture, what they said is, we need a new God. They didn't ask for a new Moshe Rabbeinu. They said, Moshe Rabbeinu is out, okay, now we need gods that are going to lead us. They were afraid of them.
Really?
Now, some people say the Erevah was 40,000 people that got involved in the eagle. Some people say that the Jewish people also followed the Erevah. It wasn't only them, it was everybody. And first they went to the Skenim, like I said, and the Skenim said no, and they killed them. Then they went to Chur, and they said again, they said, Chur, do something, and Chur protested. He said, no, you can't do anything. Moshe Rabbeinu is coming down. They killed him. So they went to Aaron, next try. And this is one of the reasons why Aaron was afraid to protest them. Because Aaron saw like this. The 70 elders were killed. Chur was killed. Chur was a prophet. And Aaron knew if he would get killed, the Pasuk in Yirmiyah says, if you're going to kill a Kohen and a Navi, it's like an unforgivable sin. So Aaron said, listen, if I protest, because the obvious question is, why did Aaron allow them to make it? He should have fought it. The answer is, Aaron was afraid that if he gets killed, not that he was afraid to die, but if he would get killed, the Jews killed a Kohen and a prophet, it's an unforgivable sin, they're going to be finished. God will never forgive them.
Bezalel was Chur's son, right?
No, Chur's grandson. It was Bezalel's Chur's grandson. Okay, so that's why he didn't do it. Another thing Aaron said to the Jewish people is like this. Aaron said to himself, I know Moshe Rabbeinu is coming down. He's either coming down at the end of the day, and if today's not the day, he's going to come down in the morning. So Aaron said, let me stall them. In other words, if Aaron would have allowed the Jews to make the eagle, they would have been done 1, 2, 3. So Aaron was trying stalling tactics that Moshe Rabbeinu should by then come down and the Jews wouldn't be able to worship the eagle because Moshe Rabbeinu would be there. This is basically what he says. Another thing is, Aaron wanted that by him making it, people are going to say, oh, Aaron knew there was nothing to this eagle, to this golden calf. And therefore, it's nothing to begin with. So this is what Aaron said. So they came to Aaron, and they said, Vayem Aleim Aaron said to them, Parku Nizme Hazov, take off the earrings of gold, Ashe Ba'ozne Neshechem, which are on the ears of your wives. Aaron knew the women would never give their gold for idol worshipping. Aaron really had trust in the women. He knew the women, that's one way of looking. You can look at it negatively, they were too cheap to give it. But Aaron knew that the women, as the Midrash says, Aaron knew that the women were very righteous, because the Gemara says, in the merit of the righteous women, the Jews left Egypt. So Aaron knew that the women were interested in this. In fact, it's never being done also later. It's brought down later in Chumash. The Jews, the men, the spies came back. They said, oh, we don't want to go into Israel. And Tzlavcha's daughters, this guy Tzlavcha died with no sons, only 5 daughters. They came to Moshe and they said, it's not fair. We're not getting any part in Israel. Because, you know, that was when God told them the law that if there's no sons, then daughters inherit. So the women we see, and Aaron knew this, loved Eretz Yisrael, loved Hashem. So Aaron says, you know what? Go to your wives. Take the jewelry off them. He knew the women wouldn't give it. And this is all delay tactics that to make sure that Moshe Rabbeinu should come down.
In what merit did the ladies have to get out of Egypt for us? I mean, what did they do that deserved?
They took care of the men, they took care of the babies that they were giving birth, and they encouraged the men, it says, to do what's right.
Rabbi?
Yes?
Why they needed the 70 elders to build the calf? To build...
No, they didn't. They wanted them. They were the leaders. So they said, they didn't go all the way to the top first.
They had a lot of gold themselves. They came out with tremendous amount.
Oh, one second. No, they didn't say, we want you to pay for the gold. They said, we want you to do it. And they knew that Aaron, they didn't go to the top. They knew Aaron was the most righteous. Aaron wouldn't do it. So they tried on the lower levels. You know, the lower level bosses. And they said, make us a golden calf, because we, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu's dead. They saw this vision in heaven. They said, we want a new leader. And as the commentators explain, by the way, this is not that they denied God. Because if you look in the Pasuk, they say, we need a leader. Moshe's dead.
So why did they ask Aaron to be a leader?
That's a very good question. So they could have come to Aaron and said, okay, your brother's dead, take over the leadership. That would have been normal.
But it was a Kohen Gadol.
Yeah, I mean, the question is a very obvious, good question. Why didn't, if the Jews were looking for a leader, but these were the troublemakers. These were the Erev Rav. These were the Jews that tagged along.
And the other Jews didn't protest?
No. And that's why God blamed everybody. The question is, the Jews could have come along and said, listen, we didn't do it. They did it. The Egyptian tagalongs did it. Hashem said, listen, you didn't protest, you didn't fight them. You allowed it to happen, you're equally to blame.
But this should have been a very small number of people.
40,000 wasn't so small. 40,000 people.
The rest of the Jews didn't want to fight them.
Right.
But the Arab rabble were in millions.
They say, but here it says that 40,000 were involved in this.
Rabbi Kesselman tell us the other story.
The what?
Was that it was very positive approach that they might go golden calf.
I'm not done yet. And he told you, I don't have to repeat it. Officially, it's a very negative thing, this golden calf. And it is a very negative thing. I don't know what he told you, but the golden calf redid the sin of Eitz Hadas. In other words, the original sin that Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava sinned, caused evil to come into the world. And that evil stayed forever. What's wrong? Now, it says when Hashem gave the Torah, there was so much Kedusha in the world that the world went back to pre-sin time. To pre-Eitz Hadas. It says it in the Zohar, it uses the expression Paska Zu Hamasam, all the impurity, all the sweat, meaning the impurity, left when God gave the Torah to the Jewish people. Then when the Jews made the golden calf, what happened was they rebrought the original sin back into the world. And that's why later on in the Pasuk, it's a long issue over here, but later on Hashem says, Ubiyem Pakti or Pakadati. Hashem says to the Jewish people, whenever I get angry at you, I'm going to remind you of the golden calf sin. Because that undid Matan Torah. Oh. And it says the Jews weren't even ready for this. They wasn't worthy of it. This is all to show the power of tshuva. And we're going to learn. If we learn the story, we're going to see the whole reason why Hashem allowed the golden calf to take place. Because Hashem wanted to give the opportunity for people to do tshuva. No matter how bad the sin is, the sin is, you can still do tshuva.
That's how with Judaism a lot of people died.
Because they didn't do tshuva. They did not do tshuva. Those people that did tshuva weren't killed. Those people that didn't do tshuva were killed. And in fact, we learned in the Ten Commandments, when Hashem says, Anechi Hashem Elokecha, I am God, you God, singular. He didn't say, I'm God, you God, plural, like we say in Shema. Ani Hashem Elokechem, I am your plural, your God. Over here Hashem says, I am your God, in singular. And one of the reasons Rashi explains, why did God say, I am your God, your God, singular? So Rashi explains over there, one reason is, because a Jew shouldn't think God is talking to all the other Jews except me. You know, like, you tell people to do things, they mean everybody else but me. God says, listen, I'm speaking to every single Jew. You, singular. Don't tell me I mean somebody else, I mean you. But then Rashi says a remarkable concept. You learned the Rashi very simply, it's a remarkable concept. That pasuk gave Moshe an excuse to defend the Jews. Because when God said, why did the Jewish people worship the golden calf? Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, what do you want? When you said, I am God, you God, you said it's singular, you were talking to me. You never said it to them.
But in the first two commandments, the Jews were heard.
Yeah, but what did God say? I am God, your God, singular. So Moshe said to God, Moshe defended. Yeah. He says to Hashem, listen, Well, you're talking to me. You never told the Jews they can't worship idols. You said, I'm God, you're God. You spoke to me. So the Rebbe explains, okay, that's what Rashi said, very cute. But the Rebbe explains, but you see, who was Moshe Rabbeinu defending? Moshe Rabbeinu was defending the lowest of the lowest of Jews, that after all the miracles, after the Torah was given, after everything, they still go worship an idol, and Moshe Rabbeinu is still defending them. So the whole story of the eagle, in fact, we'll see later in the Pasuk, God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, one second, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, leave me alone and let me destroy the Jews. It's a remarkable statement. God said, Hanichali, leave me alone, stop davening, leave me alone and let me go kill the Jews. What did God basically tell Moshe Rabbeinu? If you don't leave me alone, he's telling him, leave me alone and let me destroy the Jews. What do you mean if you don't leave me alone? I won't be able to destroy the Jews. So God is defending the Jews. Moshe Rabbeinu is defending the Jews. What's the whole story of the eagle in a positive way? That's what he told you last week. What is the eagle in a positive way? It shows no matter how low a Jew is, they can still do tshuva.
This
what?
This it didn't tell.
Yeah.
Sorry, you want to go first? Even Jews that didn't have witnesses, Azhara, they can do tshuva and they will remain alive?
Unless if the court kills you. Tshuva doesn't help when the court kills you. When Hashem kills you, when the punishment is death from Hashem, you could do tshuva. When the punishment, let me finish. When the punishment is the court killing you, you cannot do tshuva.
First two groups, it was a court.
Right now, we didn't learn it yet, so I don't know that.
And I read it.
Right. So you read it, but it doesn't say that yet. The bottom line is, when God kills you, you can do tshuva. When the courts kill you, you can't do tshuva. For instance, somebody is warned right before they're about to desecrate Shabbos, and the witnesses come, two kosher witnesses come right before, and they say to him, listen, you're not allowed to desecrate Shabbos, and if you do, you're going to get stoned. And the guy doesn't care, and he does it anyway. He gets stoned. Over there, tshuva will not help. You can cry, you can scream, you could yell. Tshuva will never help. When, if you did it, let's say, intentionally, and you weren't warned, so then by Shabbos, then Hashem kills you. Over there, you could do tshuva. So the Neid of Yehuda, the Rebbe quoted this many times, the Neid of Yehuda explains, what's the difference? It's a very logical difference. Tshuva is in the heart. Regret. You gotta mean it. You can have a great actor that cries, you know, and they show such remorse, but it's nothing. They don't mean it. And there's a law that a judge can only go by what he sees. So what's the case? The judge, through the witnesses, sees that the person desecrated Shabbos. That they saw. Did the person do tshuva or not? How can the judge know? He doesn't know what's going on inside somebody's heart. Just because the guy cries doesn't mean he means it. So therefore what they saw is sin, tshuva they didn't see. So therefore you have to kill the person. Hashem, on the other hand, knows what's going on inside. So Hashem knows if you really did tshuva. So if you really did tshuva, Hashem will forgive you. If not, then Hashem will kill you. So the whole concept of the ego is to, as it says, liten pischen pe, to give an opening for tshuva. To allow you to do tshuva. Yeah.
I want to go back to the issue of the Erev Rav. How do we know who the descendants of the Erev Rav are today? Is it possible?
Most of them were destroyed in the Eagle. And
because you hear people saying that all the time. You see these Jews over here, they're Erev Rav, you know, they're...
That's because they want to speak bad about other Jews.
What does it mean exactly, literally, Erev Rav?
Erev Rav, well, there's a lot of interpretations, interestingly. The simple interpretation is the vast multitude of mixed people. Eight of us, Teruvus, mixture. Rav is a lot. There was a mixture of a lot of Jews together. Or a lot of Egyptians that came out to mix. They wanted to mix with the Jews. Okay, that's what the Eight of Rav is. Moshe Rabbeinu was told by a god not to take him out of Egypt. In fact, there's a stunning medrash here that says who made the eagle was a whole different story. It was a guy by the name of Micha. Says, huh?
Who's Micha?
my brother-in-law's cow's horse.
Who's Micha?
I'll relax. What happened with Micha is like this. The Egyptians used to take Jewish kids and bury them in the walls. They used to take babies and bury them in the walls. And Moshe Rabbeinu was once walking, the Medrash says, and he saw a baby in the wall. So he says to Hashem, how are you allowing such a thing to take place? Why are you allowing such a thing to take place? Did they bury kids in the wall?
Like.
So Hashem says, trust me, I know what I'm doing. Because all these people that are buried in the walls, alive, nothing good is going to come from them.
What, a baby's dead but the guy buried?
No, Paro used to take live babies and bury them in a wall and plaster over them. So Moshe Rabbeinu came to God and said, how do you allow such a thing? So Hashem said, don't mix into my business, basically. I know what I'm doing, and all these people that are buried in the wall, nothing good is going to come from them. But Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand it. So he took a baby out of the wall. And this baby's name was Micha. Okay? This Micha, Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, raised. Okay, so he knew a little bit what was going on. So when it came, when Moshe Rabbeinu had to leave Egypt, and they needed the bones of Yosef, to take the bones of Yosef out of Egypt, so it says in the Medrash, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote on a metal plaque, Ali Shor, axe come up. Because Yosef is likened to an axe. So Moshe Rabbeinu wrote on this metal plaque, or silver plaque, whatever, a tray, Ali Shor, and he put it into the Nile, and then Yosef's coffin came up. Okay? Micha was there, and he saw that this plate had supernatural power to it, so he grabbed it, and he took it. When they made the golden calf, they were making the golden calf, it says, Aaron took the gold, as we're soon going to learn, and he threw it into the fire. Aaron wanted to melt it. Micha took this powerful plate and put it into the fire, and out came a baby shard, a calf, the eagle, the golden calf. So Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you see what you wanted to save. You wanted to save. You saved this guy, Micha. Look what he did. Look the trouble he made. So basically, God said to him, don't mix into my business. You know, as great as you are, as holy as you are, you know, don't mix into my business. Okay, so what happens? Aaron says to Linda like this, in sentence to Bermalim, Aaron Perkins me as of take off the earrings of you Ashabazin and Shechem which are in the ears of your wives, Benechem and Nesechem, your sons and your daughters, Vavir Eli and bring them to me. And Aaron thought, you know, they're never gonna bring it. So what does the Pasuk say? That's not what they did. Vayisparku kol ha'am. The whole nation took off as Nizme Azov Ashabazin, their earrings. In those days the men also used to wear earrings. At least eight of Rav did. So Aaron says to them, go bring me the earrings from your wives. They came to the wives. The wife said, we don't have any part of this. So what did the men do? They took off their own earrings. By your view, Aladdin, and they brought it to Aaron.
Nezim is not in the
nose? No. He said, Bosneim. How do you have a Nezim in the ear? Bosneim, it says.
I don't know where I took it, that Nezim is
in the ear. There's a Nezim of the Af, and there's a Nezim of the Oizen. What?
There's a Bos Nezim.
What?
Why these elders should die?
Why what?
The elders, the seven elders.
They were killed.
Why Hashem allowed that? Why they did
that? Because they probably did something wrong. I don't know. Why did Chor? Chor was a big tzaddik. They could. I don't know. I don't know why Hashem allowed them to be killed. The same reason why He allowed Chor to be killed. Okay, so then it says, "Vayikach miyodam." Aaron took it from the hands. Vayotzei si becheret. Aaron took it from the hands, bound it up in a cloth. Vayaseo ego masecho, and they fashioned it into a molten calf. Vayemon, they said, Eila lekecha Yisrael, these are your God Israel, Shaluchim Eretz Mitzrayim, that took you out of Egypt. Now, one is that they tied it, and one is that they bound it also, but also Vayotze Rashi says, is they formed it. But if you know, it's an interesting thing. In the Medrash it says Aaron just threw the gold into the fire and they out came out the eagle from this magic, witchcraft. But the Mefarshim explained, the Medrash says really, and this brought down even in Halacha, we know that women have the holiday of Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is customary that women don't sew, they don't do laundry, they don't do types of works in Rosh Chodesh. It's their holiday. So it says in the Medrash, where did women merit to get the holiday of Rosh Chodesh? Because when they didn't sin in the golden calf, they refused to have anything to do with it, they didn't give their own jewelry for the golden calf, they merited to be given a special holiday, which is called Rosh Chodesh. Now, why Rosh Chodesh and not a different holiday? So the Medrash explains like this. There's three major holidays, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Pesach corresponds with Avraham Avinu. Shavuos corresponds with Yitzchak. And Sukkot corresponds with Yaakov Avinu. Okay, where do we see this connection of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? So the Chazal explained like this. By Avraham Avinu, when the angels came to him, when did the angels come to him? Pesach. Avram said to them, Lushi vasi ugois. He told Sarah, go make uga round cakes. He told her to make shmur matzah for the malachim. And we know the Medrash says, when did the angels come to Avram Avinu? It was on the Yom Tov of Pesach. So Pesach is Avram Avinu's holiday. Shavuos, when the Torah was given, it says, the shofar that God blew at Matan Torah was in the ram of the isle of the Akedah that were from Akedah Yitzchak. So Shavuos is connected to Yitzchak. By Yaakov Avinu it says, when he came back from Lavan's house, it says, Ulemikneu asa sukkos. For his cattle he made temporary huts, sukkos. So sukkos is connected to Yaakov Avinu. So it says in the Medrash, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is Pesach, Shavuos, and sukkos. But now, there's a holiday every month, it's called Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh represents the 12 months of the year. So the 12 Rosh Chodesh represent the 12 tribes. Okay? Because the 12 tribes sinned in the golden calf, and the women didn't, because only Levi didn't sin. But Levi's the 13th tribe. Because if you count Menashe and Ephraim, then you don't count Levi. Right? Everybody sinned except the tribe of Levi. So therefore, 12 tribes sinned. 12 Rosh Chodesh sinned. Women didn't. So they got the holiday of Rosh Chodesh. So because the women didn't participate in the Egel in any way whatsoever, they merited to have the special Yom Tov called Rosh Chodesh.
Rabbi, is it wrong to say that you believe that these holidays of Rav Yitzchak Yaakov, the women, Rosh Chodesh, and all that, were God's plans for the Jewish people?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Was correct to say that?
Right. What?
When did God make this plan?
5,767 years ago.
It's written, "V'yomru ele lefecha Israel."
Right. Date of Rav.
Rav, at how the Midrash tells that it's Egil tells. Egil told it ele lefecha Israel. It's written in
the Medrash says. The Medrash says that the Egil itself started talking.
But what is plural? V'yomru.
That's what I'm saying. Simple pshat is a yomru ele lefecha Israel means that the aid of Rav, that's why it doesn't say Elokeinu.
If it's plural,
the aid of Rav, that's what Rashi says. The aid of Rav said, that's why they didn't say Elokeinu. Why didn't say Elokeinu? Because the aid of Rav was speaking to the Jews. They said, this is your new God.
But if it's Egel speak, it cannot be Vayomru. It says to be Vayomer.
Right, so the whole thing is Bechal Demetri. Where does it say that the Egel spoke? So the Medrash says that the Egel itself started. That's why, Vayar Aaron, what did Aaron see? Aaron saw that it was alive.
Can we back up for 1 minute?
Yes.
the two commandments, the first one, okay, that he was talking singular, but the second commandment, Hashem told them that there should not be any other gods between
all of the Ten Commandments are singular.
What?
Singular. Lo signov, doesn't say lo signovu. It says also all the Ten Commandments are singular.
Rabbi,
yeah.
What's the significance though in the Shema? You said, Ani Hashem Elokechem.
Sometimes Hashem is speaking collectively.
Why would he
but say in the Ten Commandments, when he's giving it, that's when Hashem is saying, I'm speaking to every single Jew. When he gave it. Collectively, Hashem says, listen, I'm God, you're God, plural, you know, of the nation. We're all together. But when Hashem is giving it, Hashem says, listen, I'm speaking to every single Jew. Don't think I mean everybody but you. You know, when they want to say, give out free food, then every Jew says they mean me. When they say, do a mitzvah, everybody Jew says, I mean everybody else. I mean, that's the way the Jews work. So Hashem says, no, I'm speaking to you, I mean you.
Easy, Nathan.
Okay. Now,
easy, Yoni.
Some of Farshim learned, by the way, when it says that Yotzar Eise Bacheret, which means actually that he fashioned it in a fashion, some of Farshim say Bacheret means Bacharata. That Aaron, Vayotzar Eise is singular. If you look in the Pasuk, it says he took it from their hands, and he formed it. Meaning Aaron formed it. Why did Aaron form it? Bacharet, that they should regret. Charata. He did it himself to stall time that they should regret their actions. But what happened? Vayasehu Egel Masech. So the people made it. You know, they made it with witchcraft. They made it with witchcraft. And Aaron tried stalling, but it didn't work. Okay. Now, the question is, later on, Aaron is blamed for this.
No.
Aaron is blamed. So the question, he didn't make it. Why is Aaron the eagle that Aaron made? So the Mefarshim explained, granted he didn't make it, but he threw it into the fire. So even though he didn't form it, the fact that he threw it into the fire, and then they made it from that, so it's considered as if he did it.
Now by what page you want?
494.
Still?
We started in 492.
Oh my God.
We graduated. Vayad Aaron saw. So Mefarshim explained, what did Aaron see? What did Aaron see? So Rashi says he saw that it was alive. This golden calf actually became alive. It started moving. And the Medrash says not only did he saw it talking.
And he ate esek.
What?
Esek, he ate.
It says it was alive. He did everything. He was eating. No, Rashi says the savn shirt echel esek. It was like an ox that ate grass. And he saw that the Satan now was successful, and Aaron saw that he couldn't push him off anymore, it's done. So what happened? So Aaron called out to the people and said, Chag la Hashem mochar. Tomorrow will be a holiday for God. So they thought he meant to this new God. Aaron meant, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come down, and we're going to have a holiday to the real God. But why did he say mochar? Why didn't he make the party right away? Because again, he wanted to do, to push it off, to delay it as much as, huh?
What does Mochar mean?
Mochar, tomorrow. So what happens? Vayashkimu mimocharas. Vayashkimu mimocharas means, as Rashi says, the Satan got him up early in the morning. They, like this, the Jews like to sleep. Here, the party time, they got up early in the morning. Vayalu eilis, and he brought sacrifices to it. Vayigishu shlam, they brought peace offerings. Vayeshev ha'am lecho v'shasu, and the nation got up to eat and drink, meaning to party. Vayakum letzachik, and they got up. Letzachik, Rashi says, means adultery and murder. They killed Chur. They started committing adultery. They were having a party time over here. with this whole ego.
They actually believe that there's a God here. This is actual God. The second, I mean...
Now it already became right. Wow. See, over here he discusses, okay, it's going to be soon, but in this whole thing of why Hashem allowed it to happen... Initially, they didn't want to worship the golden calf. They just wanted a Moshe Rabbeinu replacement. Then there's sudden, you know, that's what happens when you, in the Hasidic world, they say, once you want to imitate or knock down Moshe Rabbeinu, you end up worshiping idols. What? Oh, I thought you wanted to ask something. Or say something. Okay. Okay, so now what happens like this. Hashem said to Moshe, Lech Reid, go down. And Lech Reid is a double expression. Lech means go, Reid means go down. Hashem could have said Reid, which means go down. Why did Hashem say Lech Reid, the double expression? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash that Hashem said like this. Two things. Number one, get out of here, go down from the mountain. And secondly, Reid megedulasa, go down from your glory. You're not great anymore. I gave you greatness because of the Jews. There's no more greatness of the Jews. You don't have any greatness either.
But it's better to be killed like her or to do what he did?
Well, Aaron did it. Moshe Rabbeinu, they weren't going to start up with. Aaron, like we learned before, that Aaron was afraid to start up.
No, but Aaron was, you say, was punished for it, huh?
Aaron was punished.
But who
even though he had no choice.
Exactly. Who was killed? So what was better?
Aaron had no choice because still, as innocent as he was, his hands got dirty from it, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned many times, there's a famous story with the previous Rebbe. He once called in a chassid and he told him to do something. A few days later, Chassid didn't do it. Okay? Chassid is called in again to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, I told you to do something, why wasn't it done? So the Chassid gave legitimate excuses why it wasn't done. Okay? So the Rebbe said to him, the previous Rebbe said to him like this, listen, I asked you a question, you answered me an answer, but the thing still wasn't done. Okay? In other words, all excuses doesn't make the thing happen. Aaron was legitimized for not doing it, and Aaron wasn't killed by Hashem for worshiping, you know, making the golden calf. The bottom line was, Aaron was involved in the ego.
But how was he punished?
Well, later on in Chumash, we'll see. We'll see.
Some died because they were doing something wrong.
There's two aspects with that. We'll see that later. Aaron was punished. Hashem was accumulative also about him not going into Eretz. So it was everything together. Mm-hmm. But Aaron was punished. But he wasn't as bad because he didn't worship like everybody else. The bottom line is, the golden calf came through Aaron. Even though, you know, there's an expression in English, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Mm-hmm. Okay. Aaron, a lot of good intentions, but the bottom line is the eagle was made.
So, but this is a lesson to know that a leadership has to stay with his people or it doesn't
have leadership to. Is supposed to stop
God
the people.
One second.
Yeah,
leadership means to guide the people and make sure they're going the right way.
So, but the other one tried to guide them and they killed him.
Aaron protested and they killed him.
No, Aaron, Hur.
Hur. I'm sorry, Hur protested and they killed him.
So?
Aaron was afraid he'd also get killed.
So Aaron stayed with his people. At least he saved.
What did he save?
He saved one day the people for waiting.
Okay, but if you notice, we'll soon see when Moshe Rabbeinu came down. Moshe Rabbeinu said to him,
"The Khan will save all the people because if Aaron was killed, as all, everybody will punish."
Right.
Aaron has Mr. Rutnefesh, and he.
Moshe says to Aaron later on, "Me'asel chomazeh." What did you do? And he said, don't get angry at me. And so Moshe Rabbeinu says, afterwards it says, I should also say Egel, I should also Aaron. At the bottom of 500, it says, Hashem punished the nation for the calf that Aaron made.
Okay.
Okay, that's what it says. Because of the calf that, that Aaron made.
But Moshe asked Aaron what they did to you that you was...
I understand, but the bottom line is Hashem said, you made the eagle. Listen, Aaron was in a very tough situation. Yeah. He did the best he could. But for a tzaddik and his level, he was punished for what happened.
But if it was the best things that he can do in this situation...
But it wasn't good enough. It still wasn't good enough.
There's no possibility to do better, but it was good enough. The best thing...
Whatever it is, the fact is something bad came through him. That's it.
Should he have given up his life?
No, because then it would even be worse.
But that's what destroyed
him. Right, but nobody's blaming him. The bottom line is, the eagle came about through Aaron, and his level, it happened. Nobody's questioning what he should have done. He shouldn't have done anything. He did what he did. What he did was right. The bottom line, what?
This is some contradiction. He did what is right, and he did the best. And okay, still eagle.
Doing your best is not always good enough.
Okay,
that's what I said. You could be doing the best. You have a good, legitimate excuse why you didn't do it. The bottom line is, it wasn't done.
But Aaron doesn't deserve punishment.
Yes, because the bottom line is, the eagle came about through Aaron.
So if someone threw this parchment and it became a cow, whatever, because of the parchment they found in the water.
Yeah,
okay, so if someone else did it, he would have been punished also, because it was Aaron who knew better.
Yeah, Micha did not punish him. He was Eter and make an idol again, and Micha was not punished there.
So who says he wasn't punished?
Because later he was alive and he make
how do you know it's the same guy? So it's not Pesel Micha, they had not Micha himself.
It's not the same Micha?
First, it could be the same Micha, but they had Pesel Micha. It wasn't necessarily Micha himself. Let's see when we go on into the psukim, the way Hashem is. What?
We are bothered by the fact that he's punished when he would have been killed if he didn't do it. So at least he preferred to stay with the people. It would have been worse.
Aaron should have stopped him.
But he wasn't able to.
Because he was going to get killed. But the bottom line is, from Aaron's lack of protesting. From his lack of protesting. Maybe if he would have gotten killed, it would have been worse.
No.
Okay, but that necessarily wasn't his business.
It is his business. If his brother gave him the people to watch, it is his business.
His brother didn't give him the people to watch?
Well, he was the Kohen Gadol.
So he was the Kohen Gadol.
So, and he said, I'm leaving, so I'm going to...
No, he said, well, people have questions, go to Aaron.
Okay, so
Aaron tried to stop him, but... The fact is, he didn't protest them. If you look in the Chumash, Aaron did not protest them. His reasoning for not protesting was legitimate.
Yeah, I mean,
because then they would kill him and it would be even worse.
Uh-huh.
Right? But the bottom line is, he didn't protest.
Maybe he did, but we don't mention it.
He had a right to get dirty, but he still got dirty.
Head to head,
Mesirut Nefesh,
and still protest.
Yes, yes.
Still protest.
Some
Afashim. And leaving the God have hands, what it will happen if it's everybody will punish. You have to go
huh?
The sofa, we say.
They should have had cell phones those days.
What?
They have cell phones, now all this problem.
Yeah, they could have called them.
Rabbi, what was Aaron found guilty of that he was practically killed?
He's still there.
Was he killed?
No, but he was involved in the creation of the golden calf.
You begin to say something, some of Hashem say something that Aaron has to do this to protest?
The Mepharshim say Aaron should have protested. They don't say that he didn't, he wasn't necessarily, he had an excuse not to protest, but he still did it.
What?
Chassidus says this whole thing had to happen. Hashem wanted the eagle to happen.
Rabbi.
Let me ask you a very simple question. The Mepharshim asked this question, but we're not there yet. Mepharshim asked a simple question. If God saw what was going on, why didn't he say, Moshe, go home a day earlier? Cut your vacation short and go home. Come back to earth a day earlier.
He keep him purposely. Yeah.
Okay?
Because
40
is a nice round number.
No, the Mepharshim say, listen, God said 40 days, God said 40 days. 40 days is 40. When God says something, it's... But the fact is, if you think about it, why didn't God send him back a day earlier?
39 doesn't have...
God could have said the commotion. God could have seen the commotion and said, listen, Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a little rebellion going on. Go back. He even says in English, had God sent Moses back to the nation a day sooner, this tragedy would have been prevented. Uh-huh. But he did not do so because the event of the previous day did not constitute idolatry. Erchaim contends that God did not send Moshe back before the situation deteriorated because the divine word had declared that he'd be on top for 40 days and 40 nights. And God's word is inviolate, or because full extent of God's teaching regarding full 40 days. In other words, Hashem wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to stay there. Hashem wanted the eagle to happen. Hashem wanted everything that happened to happen. 100%.
Why did he get angry?
Because you don't have to do it.
Oh.
What?
Isn't this the whole process of Shliflus also?
Of what?
Of Shliflus, that you go and get your hands dirty, but you have to do what you have to do. So are we still dirty if we didn't?
We're pretty dirty. We're very dirty.
Can you speak a little bit louder, young man? I don't think anybody heard you but your parents.
I think everybody heard you but you. Okay. Anyway, let's see. The pasuk says like, "V'nabe Hashem meshalach reid, go down." And like we learned, the double expression means, I gave you greatness because of the Jews. Now, so basically... And here Rashi says an interesting thing. Moshe Rabbeinu became banned in heaven.
Where did he used to get that?
Moshe Rabbeinu became banned in heaven. Why? So the pasuk says, "Ki shicheis amcha." It doesn't say the nation became bad. The nation became bad. It says your nation became bad. What does it mean? God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I told you not to take these Egyptians out of Egypt. I told you not to take Micha out of the wall. You didn't listen to me. It was your idea. Now it's your fault. The question is, why is it Moshe Rabbeinu? He's not even there. He's up in the heaven.
What's the story of Micha and the wall?
Okay, you came late. Okay. What should I do? What do you expect Moshe Rabbeinu to do? God takes him up to heaven. He's there. He can't go down. The spaceship wasn't ready to come down yet. What is he supposed to do? Hashem says, you know what? Tough luck. You're banned from heaven. You know what it means for Moshe Rabbeinu to be banned from heaven? He has the luchos in his hand. And God says, get the heck out of here. Go fly a kite. Go back down to earth. You're banned from heaven. Rashi says, Nisnada Moshe mipibez nishamayla. Moshe Rabbeinu was excommunicated from the heavenly court. What did he have to do with the eagle? He's not even in the same country. The answer is your fault, because you shouldn't have taken these people out, and therefore everything they do is your responsibility. There's a pasuk later in Chumash. There's a pasuk later in Chumash that says, "Va'asimim b'rasheichem." Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Take elders, you know, take scholars, and I will va'asimim b'rasheichem, and I will make them as the heads." And the Gemara says, the Medrash says, "Va'asimim." Doesn't only mean I will put them in there as the heads. The word vasimim is the same if flip the shin for a sin. So then you have ashimim. The sins of the Jewish people, God says, I'm going to blame barashechem, your heads. God says, anytime the Jews sin, I'm going to blame the heads. Because the heads have to teach them, and the heads have to make sure that they're not sinning, and they're not going to worship idols, and they're not going to do all the stuff. So Moshe Rabbeinu, as the leader of the Jewish people, Hashem says, once they go down, you go down with them. When the foot falls, the foot trips, the head falls down with you to the ground. Why should the head didn't trip? Why should the head go down with the feet? The foot goes down, it's one body. The foot goes down, the head goes down with it. And this is, you think this is bad? Moshe Rabbeinu is also banned. And he really had nothing to do with it. Hashem says, Kishiches Amra, this is your nation. You accepted them, and they were the ones that corrupted the whole people. Asher Halisa, what?
So is there any good to learn from this?
Yeah. When God says something, listen. Don't. No, because Moshe Rabbeinu argued with God. Moshe Rabbeinu argued with God. Obviously, not in this case. A Jew is supposed to argue with Hashem. What Hashem wants you to argue is when Hashem is doing something bad to a Jew, Hashem wants another Jew to come and say to God, why are you doing this bad to this Jew? But I'll give you, you know what, let's, not the saying is called spade a spade. You know, people convert to Judaism with an invalid conversion, a non-halachic conversion, right? So, somebody could come along and say, listen, the guy wants to be a Jew. You know, let's make him a Jew. What's the big deal? The guy wants to be a Jew. Let's make him a Jew. Over there, God says, don't mix into my business. I am giving the directions of how you become a Jew. God says, you need this, you need this, you need this. Okay? You don't do this, this, and this, then you can't become a Jew. You can't come along and say, but listen, you know, why are you so cruel? This is what, you know, when, again, Chabad doesn't label people, but when you talk about a Reform conversion, a conservative conversion, which is not accepted in the Orthodox community, correct? Okay? So people have tainus, people have complaints against Orthodoxy. And they say, listen, what do you care? There's so many Jews that are not religious anyway. This person wants to be Jewish. You know, it's interesting. When there's an intermarriage, let's say a Jewish boy marries a shiksa, right? Or is involved with a shiksa. If you think about it, the shiksa is more interested in Yiddishkeit than the boy is. The boy is going to the shiksa is going to a Jew. If you think about it, who's more interested in Yiddishkeit? If anything, the shiksa is more interested in Yiddishkeit. She's looking for a Jewish boy, and this guy's looking for a shiksa. So a guy can come along and say, listen, God, come on, it's not right. They want to be Jewish. It's nice, it's fine. Let's have him Jewish. Over there, God says, don't mix into my business. This person is not a Jew. Don't tell me he's a Jew. He's not a Jew. Okay? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu did with the Erev Rav. The Erev Rav, these Goyim, the Egyptians, wanted to tag along with Moshe Rabbeinu. They wanted to go out of, you know, together with the Jews, become part of the Jewish nation. God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, no. Moshe Rabbeinu said, come on, God, you're cruel. Do you want to be Jewish? What do you want? What do you care? Let him be Jewish. Hashem says, remember. Remember. I said no. Okay? What happened? Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you see what you did? Now you. No, they didn't. No, the Erev Rav was not Megayer by Matan Torah. Only the Eden. Not the Erev Rav. No, the Erev Rav was not Megayer by Matan Torah.
So how is that? We know that it's only the Erev Rav. It's everybody participating.
The ones that made it was the Erev Rav.
Aaron made it also, so he's also fully...
Yeah, but he didn't want to make it. They wanted to make it.
I know, I understand, but how do we know it's only the
Erev Rav? Listen, there's three sins. There's an interesting halacha in Torah. There's three sins, idolatry, adultery, and murder, that Torah says, if a guy comes to you with a gun to your head and says, bow down to an idol or else I'll kill you, you have to say, kill me. Not say, you have to get killed. Not say, see, this cheap. Yeah? Like, they used to come to Jack Benny. Your money or your life? You know, he said, I'm thinking. Yeah, let me think. Don't rush me. I got to think what's more important, my money or my life. You know, don't rush me. So, what happens if the guy says, you know what? I'm sorry, I'm going to worship an idol. Abidin, he's supposed to give up his life and not worship the idol. What happens if the guy's not that strong, and he says, okay, I'll worship the idol. And he worships the idol. The Rambam writes, he's not punished. Because he was still forced. Even though Halacha says, you have to give up your life and not worship the idol, the bottom line is when you're forced to do something, you're not punished for it. Aaron, on his level, because of his greatness, even though he was forced to make the golden calf, he was still a little punished. But the Erev Rav, they wanted, they made it.
This is little, two sons died as his little?
On his level, it could have been four sons.
In Spanish Inquisition, a lot of Jews that are converted
to
halachically, they were not allowed to do it. No,
they weren't punished either.
You can't punish them, and halachically they were not allowed to do what they did.
Burning people alive.
At the stakes.
What did Aaron have?
But a lot of people should know later, and now they're basically nobody knows who the Maranos are. But there was a time in history that other Jews did not intermarry with the Maranos. They said they're still worshipping idols.
Rabbi?
What?
What was in Aaron's mind that making the golden calf, what purpose was it going to serve?
He hoped that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to come back and they wouldn't have to be able to serve the golden calf. They made the golden calf because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come back on time. He got delayed, came late, got flat tire.
Why did they need the leader? They are free. They were out of Egypt, free. Why do they need an idol? Or?
Because Jews need a leader.
Why?
No, Jewish people need a leader. That's why it says the Moshe Rabbeinu. God appointed Moshe Rabbeinu. Every generation needs a Moshe Rabbeinu.